Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up on an Indian summer day.
Yeah, gorgeous day out there. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Tons of things once again.
Tons coming in off the transom.
This is just breaking.
Remember what is the transom anyway?
I remember in the ancient days when I worked in newsrooms, they had like the little AP wire machine.
Went, okay. That's a transom?
I don't know. But at any rate, this is just hot off the internet. Multiple sources, although they're all quoting MSNBC, so I have my doubts, but say that James Comey is expected to be indicted here in the next few days for lying to Congress. People have admitted, and I think he even kind of talked about it in his book, that he basically made up memos and then leaked them to his friend, who then leaked them to the New York Times. And when he was asked by Congress, did you ever leak anything to anybody? He said, no, of course I did not. I'm James Comey. So he may be indicted. What makes this somewhat, I mean, we've heard this before, right? Any day now. However, apparently the statute for limitations for that charge is up on Tuesday. So that makes it somewhat, I mean, and then just last week, Trump fired the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, apparently because they wouldn't charge Comey and Letitia James and some of those people. And they replaced over the weekend with one of Trump's personal attorneys who was with him during the raid on Mar-a-Lago, Lindsey Halligan. So we'll see. I hope so. I mean, I was kind of saying, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, kind of thing. But, you know, you got to wonder, Trump is leaning on Pam Bondi, all of that.
Publicly.
So we'll keep you.
Which is not how you do it, but Trump doesn't do the way.
Yeah. And in a second, we'll get to, I'm calling it escalator gate with the UN speech. But you wanted to talk about.
Well, Google announced that, oh, by the way, yes, we were pressured by the Biden administration to cut out all content that contradicted any message that the administration was having on COVID.
Now, Google owns YouTube. So
I'm going to get to that.
Okay, sorry.
So rudely
interrupted. Sorry.
and so one of those, you know, they wanted to stop all misinformation from getting out there, like the Great Barrington Declaration and other ones. And they said that they had an algorithm. Well, they didn't say an algorithm. They said they certainly cut off people on YouTube. Thousands and thousands of people. Well, we're part of the people they cut off.
We're a danger to the community.
We're a danger. Well, we violated their community standards by citing the governor who said that 6 months old don't need to wear masks. And that was clearly a community standard violation. So they kicked us off and said, don't try to ever get back on either. No. We'll catch you and then we'll really let you have it. But apparently they said, no, okay. We're going to provide an opportunity for all those people we cut off to join. So having YouTube is a huge advantage. I mean, it's
yeah, I'll have to go back and figure out how to do it all again.
And Julie's going, well, that's a lot of work. I mean, they really have to let us back on. I mean, how to do it and stuff.
Extraordinary when you look at how the left has whined about Charlie Kirk being suspended for a few days, right?
Yeah.
Censorship. They didn't even report that YouTube said, yes, we were pressured by the Biden administration and we caved in and we literally took, and keep in mind, it was livelihoods, right? There are a ton of people, you know, some more, I think like Steven Crowder, Dan Bongino, all of those people, right? That's why they started Rumble, because they were all kicked off of YouTube. And as you pointed out, it's like when the day we were kicked out, and this, I think we had like three violations where we were dangerous to the community. It happened immediately after the show. It clearly there were algorithms that just kind of immediately. I mean, it was obvious. No one was actually.
We're
listening,
so huge.
Listening
that,
to
that,
us,
that, that yeah. automatically, you know, they have a team listening to us.
Right. It wasn't that, and I'm sure The other unfortunate, we at least were talking about masks, right? I can easily imagine people getting banned from YouTube and cut off from YouTube that actually weren't even saying anything controversial, right?
Well, I'm not sure
That would just
quoting the governor as being controversial. A left-wing governor is controversial, but it didn't matter. It was saying something that was not pro-mask and therefore
right.
a violation of community standards. But they also, like the Comey case, they were under a huge time constraint, which most people didn't know. But tomorrow is Julie and I's 16th anniversary, and so they had to get the message out
So we can get back on for our anniversary.
before that.
Johnny Johnson, they should give you two back pay from YouTube.
Well,
And that's an
we
interesting.
actually did get paid, didn't we?
Yeah, we get paid from YouTube. We get paid from Rumble. We get
Yeah.
paid from Podbean. We're not
Yeah.
going to buy a mansion with it, but we. So, I mean, and not only that, but it's interesting when they were fiddling around with the algorithms to catch
Miscreants.
miscreants, right? Content that they didn't like. It also, though, had ripple effects. I have a relative who's a huge YouTuber, only he does music guitar stuff, right? And he talked about during that time, I mean, it was really affecting his views, and he makes
He
his
made a big
living.
business
He
out of it.
yeah, he made a ton of money, makes still a ton of money off of it. But their attempt to mess with stuff, right, and to censor stuff impacted people across the board.
Not that they cared.
No, not that they cared. Well, and I think it's led to the rise of places like Rumble. There are other content creator platforms out there that are doing great that don't do with all. I mean, Substack, I think, is, you know, so
Perfectly good.
it's interesting, but it is also interesting that I guess because they have all these antitrust lawsuits, I'm not really sure why they're announcing this now. Were you able to figure out why they decided to come clean
I
now?
just told you.
Well, oh, because of our anniversary.
Yes, of course. They're coming up on a deadline.
Other than that, I'm not really sure.
And also, they were also going 16 years, really? You've been married 16 years? And they said, that's
It's a miracle.
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
Somebody put up with Chuck for 16 years? Well, hard to
no,
believe,
it's not hard
really.
to believe at
So
all.
they were just going through saying, we got to get this message out.
So it'll be interesting to see who comes back on. Because I have to say, there's a part of me that is sort of like, screw you, YouTube. You know.
Well, that's your lazy part.
Well, no, I mean, there's a part, because here's the thing, if they did it once, they'll do it again,
Well,
right?
do it again.
I mean,
We
they.
need to get back on. Just because it's fun.
Okay, but what I'm saying though is that's, I think, the lesson we all learned from that, right? That you need to have, like Trump's Truth Social, you need to have a presence on multiple platforms, and there need to be conservative grassroots voices on multiple platforms because, you know, I mean, if YouTube decided they would do it once, they'd do it again, right?
Well, as soon as the next Democrat comes in, they'll go back to you, say, you know what, that old one we had before,
Yeah, that's just
let's put the
that.
team back together.
Well, remember we did so many shows about they had on their, you know, their vetting boards, they had CIA people, FBI people, all of
Yes.
these people that were deep state people. And again, it's not as if they were listening to our show. They probably weren't actually even listening to Dan Bongino's show. They just set up algorithms, and if they heard certain things, I mean, I haven't played with it for a while. I would post something like if I would put Trump. Well, even to this day, when we send things out, if you put Trump in the line,
Anywhere.
it gets sent to spam, right? But I would post something like, don't use masks. And I'd put that up and it would immediately get banned. And I'd put the exact same show up and I'd say, we like kittens, right? And it wouldn't get immediately banned. So clearly they were searching for stuff. So.
But I think it's great. I think, and Victor, no, it was Jonathan Turley wrote an article saying it's real vindication for them to have to admit, because before it said, oh, what are you talking about?
Right.
Conspiracy nutbags. No, we wouldn't do that. You know, ours is we're objective, we're truthful, we're
Right.
everything else. And okay, well, we lied and we were forced to. I think your point is that a free market system in anything, quite frankly, is the only key you have, because this particular effort to ban everybody went up to the Supreme Court. And when the Supreme Court wants to duck an issue, when it doesn't want to decide an issue, like the Trump challenges to his 2020 election, they always say, oh, you don't have standing. And standing is an amorphous legal concept that is totally subjective in many cases. And so that's what they did with this one. They went, oh, no, whether the government can censor indirectly by, having the providers do the censoring rather than the government itself, it decided that the plaintiffs, and I forget who they were, maybe attorney generals,
Right.
anybody who actually had the wherewithal to get all the way up to the Supreme Court would not have a standing. So if you want to be disappointed, sort of, their judicial system, which is pretty standard these
Oh, it
days,
would be.
this would another be another perfect
Here's
example.
this from Lindsay. Easy for Chuck to say, do it. Julie is the minion, slave away in darkness to figure out the YouTube show. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Here's two caveats,
Correct.
two things though that I do want to point out. So, and I want to see how this plays out. So I did get on and I was able to kind of recreate our show, right? However, when I tried to post one of our show videos, it said the video was too long, that the video can only be 15 minutes long. And in order to post our entire show, we have to go through a verification process. Now, it did not indicate what that verification process was or entailed. So,
Party registration.
yeah, exactly. If you're a registered Republican, you can only post videos that are less
15 minutes,
than
yeah.
15 minutes. Well, and not even that. I mean, sometimes it'll limit you to like 7 minutes. So we'll see how much of this is just game playing and how much of it is real, right? I mean, if they're all of a sudden like, oh, okay, yeah, Megyn Kelly, yeah, no, your show's too long. You have to be verified first. So we'll see what's involved in this because I tried searching it up and there is no real clear definition of what it takes. Now,
Well, they didn't.
just finish for Twitter, what it takes, or for X is what it takes is paying a fee. So that's straightforward, at least. Then you can be verified.
Well, they didn't say it was now open to. They want to make open, and whether which decade or century that is
The other
unclear.
thing that I think is going on here too is you see all of these AI tech, Palantir, Oracle, the Ellisons, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, all of these people who are in the, NVIDIA, all of these things or entities that are in the AI race. And the AI obviously has multiple billions of dollars that are going to be tied into government contracts as well as everything else. And they're all being friends with Trump now, right? And I gotta wonder if, who's the guy that, Sanjay Putin, however you say his name, the guy who owns Google, I gotta wonder if they're like, oh, I mean, because they need AI too, right? And I gotta wonder if they're, like you said, for this administration at least saying, oh, we gotta play nice now. So we're gonna admit all
Well,
of
I'm
this
sure it was
stuff.
just a revelatory experience on, hey, that's
Yeah, some sort of over. And it's from Jimmy jo Johnny Johnson. They forgive Jimmy, brought him back, but they never forgave Roseanne. Exactly. So it's just all disingenuous. Wanted to talk. Can you move on to to Escalator Gate?
sure.
Okay. And that extraordinary speech that Trump gave to the UN. But first, kind of the fun part. And is anyone shocked here? So I'm calling it Escalator Gate. I'm sure. And
Brilliant.
we'll play the video too, where you'll see, the escalator at the UN works fine for decades. The instant Melania Trump steps on the
It's got
escalator,
all the problems.
it goes right. The teleprompter works fine for everybody speaking at the UN. Then Trump comes on and all of a sudden it doesn't work.
Beep.
And Carolyn Levitt says, you know what? We're going to look into this. So, Doug, if we could please play the escalator soundbite.
Does appear to be sabotage with the escalator and the teleprompter. What is the White House going to do about that?
Well, Jesse, that's definitely what it appears to be to me. And that's why I put out a statement earlier. Well, there was some concerning reporting over the weekend from the London Times, as you pointed out, that UN globalist staffers were basically plotting to set up the president of the United States. And first it was the escalator, then it was the teleprompter, and then Katie Pavlich from Town Hall, who we offered a seat in the press pool to cover the president's historic speech today, noticed that the audio inside of the room was much lower and different for the president of the United States than the previous speaker. So when you put all of this together, it doesn't look like a coincidence to me. And I know that we have people, including the United States Secret Service, who are looking into this to try to get to the bottom of it. And if we find that these were UN staffers who were purposefully trying to trip up, literally trip up, the president and the first lady of the United States, well, there better be accountability for those people. role, and I will personally see to it, Jesse.
Good.
You know, you kind of get the impression she will.
Yeah,
do you
she
know
means
what I
it.
mean?
She'll go over there and personally hit him with the back of it.
I mean, I agree with her. I don't think it's remotely a coincidence that the UN staffers are joking, literally joking, about turning off the escalator when Trump comes, right? And then lo and behold, it's working, working, working. And then their excuse is, oh, somebody at the top accidentally tripped it. It's like, how do you accidentally turn off the escalator?
Well, did you notice none of the other escalators on either side?
No, they were all still working. It was just that one. It's like, I mean, what do you, I think they did it absolutely on purpose.
You know, who knows? But would you put it beyond him? Absolutely not.
No, no.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, they tried to shoot him. You know, they shoot
and
people.
Indict him,
look at what happened at the ICE shooter, the ICE facility in Dallas. It's like, so, you know, turning off an escalator and hoping that Melania Trump and Donald Trump fall and hurt themselves. I mean, that's like, you know, candy for a baby to the left on that kind of thing. But it wasn't. You listened to the whole thing, so let's get you to weigh in on it. It was an extraordinary, you can see why they didn't want him to give the speech. It was an extraordinary speech, really.
It was an extraordinary speech in lots of different ways, and only a speech that Donald Trump would make, both on the good side and the bad side. So he starts out making light of, you know, the elevator not working, and eventually would say, hey, you know, somebody's in trouble for this teleprompter. But I like to just go off script anyway, and I can promise you that's true, because we were at a Republican convention. We could see the teleprompter, we could see Trump's speech, and after the first 5 minutes, it just went totally off the rail. I don't know how much of this was included in his original one or not, because he did have a printed copy with him. But he started out bragging on the administration, all the good things that happened during the last 8 months, which would be appropriate in maybe a party rally or a
State of the
Union
Union.
address or maybe something else. But why do these care what the job numbers this week are
At least everyone's got to cover it, right? I mean, I don't blame Trump. It's like,
well, it was no relevance to the UN crowd, the Congo, yeah, and so then he went into two particular things. One was immigration, the other was climate change, and then he really addressing a few dozen. Nations really in Europe, maybe Canada, New Zealand, Australia, or something, but just saying that, you know, unfettered immigration is destroying your societies, is just killing them. And of course, all the representatives there from Europe, from France, from England, from Germany, and so forth, were very much for just unfettered immigration. So he was just telling him it's killing you and it'll destroy you and you won't have a safety net, you won't have anything else, which is why all those regimes are behind in populist polls to the populists.
Right.
So he's not really speaking to those countries per se, but he's absolutely right. And then he went after London, just because it occurred to him, I suppose, that London's a shithole now.
And he could be the head of Chicago.
Yeah. He'll send National Guard troops there,
right,
to clean it out. But it was, and then he attacked the Muslim mayor of London, and so they're going to impose Sharia law. Not technically correct, but they're going to allow Sharia in certain limited circumstances.
So they're going to get, let me interrupt 1 second, because I read this and I thought this was interesting. So Greta Thunberg has been on this Free Palestine flotilla.
From Barcelona.
Right, floating around. Well, she quit or she was kicked off. It wasn't clear, but she was apparently kicked off and had confrontations and discussions and disagreements with the Muslim anti-LGBTQ people. They said, well, we can't, you know, we're Muslim. We're not going to have, you know, they were Hamas militants, basically, but they may be terrorists, but they have their standards.
Well, they were promoting, you know, a couple of queer, self-identified queer advocates.
Right.
And they were promoting him as being on the ship, and whatever news release there was, you know, the Hamas people go, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're on a ship. Where can we throw them off?
Right. You can only do those people, right? Well, that's from, LOL, they just don't get it. Exactly. So, well, let me play, because Trump, there was a great soundbite where he talked about illegal immigration. And again, in the United States, the children, and the children that came in, how do I, they weren't just randomly crossing. I mean, a lot of these children who illegally came into the country, they were sold by their parents to help other people come in, the drug cartel people. Then they were,
Well, they could
remember, they were
save the families,
families,
yeah.
right? They were
They're
families.
separating families, yeah.
Right,
That's
exactly.
cruel and
And
unusual.
then of course the kids got in here and
Then they were all on their own.
then they disappeared, and Trump talked about that. So Doug, if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
His administration also lost nearly 300,000 children. Think of that. They lost more than 300,000 children, little children, who were trafficked into the United States on the Biden watch, many of whom have been raped, exploited, and abused, and sold. Sold. Nobody talks about that. The fake news doesn't write about it. With many others, young children, who are missing or dead. And we found a lot of these children, and we're sending them back, and we've been sending them back to their parents. They said, nobody knows who they are. They said, where do you come from? And they'll give us a country, and we'll find out, and we'll figure it out, and we'll bring them back to their homes. And the mother and father rush to the door, and their tears in their eyes. They can't believe that they're seeing their son or daughter, their little son or daughter again.
That they can
We've got
resell.
almost 30,000 of them so far. Any system that results in the mass trafficking of children is inherently evil. Yet that is exactly what the globalist migration agenda has done, and it's what it's all about. In America, those days, as you know, are over. The Trump administration is working, and we are continuing to work to track down the villains that are causing this problem.
So he pulls no punches there.
No, well, and probably most of those delegates, because it was before the whole General Assembly, had never heard a critique like that because they listened to, the mainstream media, if they listened to Western media, and they'd probably never heard anything that was critical of mass migration ever uttered from the UN. I mean, ever uttered. So for that, it was a shock. And then he went into climate change,
Yeah.
saying that, you're bankrupting your country.
This
He
is the
said,
biggest hoax
yeah,
of the century, sir.
biggest hoax of the century, and talking about how U.S. has all this beautiful coal, and then complimented Germany for kind of getting off the green train. But it's another one that's probably never been uttered in the history of the U.N.
Out that Europe is paying Russia for its oil. So Europe won't produce its own oil, right? So they're paying Russia for its oil, and then which is then helping Russia fund the Ukraine war. So he points out that, wait a minute, so basically we're paying to fund the war against us. And he's like, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, so the two great sibilants of the globalist agenda, mass migration, and climate change. I mean, he attacked both of those, and it's a message never heard before. I mean,
Right.
honestly, never heard before. Did it fall on deaf ears? Yeah, probably, but a few people probably went, "Huh, I never really thought of it that way." And so it was a great speech in the sense it really brought up the two great causes of the left and how disastrous they are for at least the Western world. And of course, a lot of these people, Nigeria, Congo, what do you mean? We're happy to get rid of our excess population, send them to Europe. And same with South America. God knows we want to get them out of, especially our criminals, out of our own country. But so it was, and of course, it was rapturously received by the left. CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest. But it was sort of a speech that had to be made, and there was only one human being in the world that could make it,
Right.
and that was Donald Trump. I mean, I think
And
he'll
as
go
Doug
back.
points out, first we had global cooling, then global warming, and then they just call it climate change, which was smart on
That's
their
what he
part.
said. That's
Yeah.
what Trump said.
Right.
Now I can never be wrong.
Right.
So it was its own way, I'm sure. Well, the UN people probably, oh, Donald Trump, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's see what happens when he tries to go down the escalator again.
Now we're really getting
Maybe they just took the stairs.
him. Yeah, right. Even they're dangerous.
But so it was an extraordinary speech, and I hope they do figure out what happens with the escalator. Maybe no, they won't, but it'll be the UN, and they'll be like, "Oh, we can't talk about it." I want to play one thing too. We've got the Bill Clinton sound, but I think you wanted to compare them. But I have to leave a little bit early again today. Chuck will continue though; he has tons to talk about. I'm not leaving yet. But to pick up Rev again, we just have 2 more weeks of golf, but. When I was, there was a time, I don't know if they do this anymore, but they would give out what they call the Darwinian Awards, right?
Darwin.
Darwin Awards, right? Where they would, like, a guy would, like, stand on the ice and he'd throw a stick of dynamite out on the ice to blow up and have his dog, the dog would then come back and get the eye and then they'd all blow up. I mean, it was just stupid people doing stupid things. So, as we know, Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. held a news conference where they basically told women to be careful, that they cited studies that showed that maybe it's not such a good idea and it's not entirely safe for women to take Tylenol during
Depression.
pregnancy. Tylenol itself, even somebody pulled out an old tweet that said, "Hey, look, we're not saying it's dangerous, but we're not saying we recommend it, right?" So what are liberals doing? The internet is full of stupid liberal women intentionally taking Tylenol, pregnant women taking Tylenol just to because they're idiots, I guess.
I'm a little suspicious because we know that
Suspicious.
Democratic women no longer believe in getting pregnant.
Yeah, really. So Don, Doug, we're going a little bit out of order, but if we could play the idiot libs soundbite.
Weeks pregnant. You know what I'm gonna take? Some Tylenol, acetaminophen. It's gonna work like a charm, and my baby won't have autism.
I mean, what for just number one, what a moron. I mean, it'd be like, I think we should do, Donald Trump should get out there and now he should say something like, eating rat poison is dangerous. We
Right.
decide, I mean, just something, right? And because as soon as Donald Trump says it, they're going to do just the opposite, right? I mean, it's like, and they complain, Elizabeth Warren was like, he told people to drink bleach. It's like, no, he didn't, number one. But what on earth would, if you have, and because they cited studies that showed, right? So I guess it'd be one thing if you had a debilitating headache or you were really sick or something like that, but she didn't look sick at all. She was just taking Tylenol for the sake of taking Tylenol. And you know what? You got to ask yourself, just like the vaccines, right? We're going to get all these vaccines and all of a sudden your kid has myocarditis, right? It's like, maybe you should stop and think, are they telling us the truth? And why would you risk it? Right? I mean, you don't want her baby to have autism, but if her baby does have autism, you
She's
got to
probably
wonder.
happy about it. Oh, great. I got a special needs child. Perfect.
You got to wonder if she might look back on this
No,
day
no.
and say, but anyway, that's how stupid liberals are. And that is why they're not winning. Do you know what I mean? That's why they're not winning because they're like, if you're a criminal, we're going to release you from prison and you're the victim, no matter what kind of crime you committed. We're going to tell you that in Denver, there was a giant story today saying, the housing market is like, oh, they're trying to spin it saying, oh, it's a buyer's market. It's like, well,
Meaning sellers or students.
the trouble is that no one's buying, which is why it's a buyer's market, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, that's a phase before they announce a housing fall off.
Right. Well, yeah, they're talking about, they're trying to tie it to a housing shortage. Well, there's not a housing shortage if there's a buyer's market. But anyway, but they don't mention politics or what the city of Denver is doing. And they do all these stories about all the restaurants closing and they kind of talk a little bit about the policies, but they don't get into it. Their message is not winning. And so if their message is Donald Trump said, don't take Tylenol. So now everyone go out and buy Tylenol. I don't
Go
know.
for
It's like, I just don't understand even a
Get that eighth
mindset.
jab of COVID thing.
I mean, if you said, here's some poison Kool-Aid, would you drink this too?
Well, they did down in Ghana,
That's
so
what I'm
maybe
saying. You talk about
these
it
were
being,
liberals down there with Jim Jones,
you
so.
talk about it being a cult. It's totally a, that, I mean, that's a total cult-like activity. You know what I mean? Just to,
Well, that's just the mindset. That is just the mindset. So, keep on taking Tylenol, and they would not be the least bit upset if a kid's autistic, as long as the federal government
yeah,
would pay
pay
for
for
special
everything.
education. So,
Well, on that, so before I take off, let me go
before
ahead.
you take
Before I take off, because that kind of ties into CNN had a They took a look at how people felt, who people trusted more, top three issues: economy, immigration, and crime. Who they trusted more, Democrats or Republicans, and even independents agreed with the Republicans on this one. And this kind of explains, again, the Democrats just, for whatever reason, they're doubling down on stupid stuff like, oh, Trump says don't take Tylenol, so no, I'm going to. Ha 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 ha, nanny boo boo. So, Doug, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
What are we seeing? Donald Trump being underwater, Democrats saying, oh, this guarantees us we're going to fly high in the midterms. Let me tell you, this guarantees you nothing, nothing, because at this particular point, the Democrats are the New Orleans Saints of political parties. What are we talking about? Trust the Dems or GOP more on the economy? Who leads on the economy? Republicans by 7. Immigration, Republicans by 13. How about crime, a big issue for Donald Trump and the Republicans? Look at that, lead by 22 points. So the bottom line is this, at this particular point, the ball may be on the ground, but the Democrats have not picked up the ball and running with it. If anything, at this particular point, it's the Republicans who are running with the ball on the top issues, the economy, immigration, and crime.
Give some context on this. Compare this when Republicans last took the House.
Yeah, let's compare it back to 2022. I think this kind of gives away the game right here, okay? The GOP is more trusted than the Dems on the economy. It was 12 points in 2022. Slight decline in that lead, but still 7 points. How about immigration? It was Republicans by 3 back in 2022. Look at this. The Republican lead's actually gone up by 10 points. What are you doing, Democrats? My goodness gracious. And on crime, the Republicans were up by 13, and now they're up by 22. The lead again expanding by nearly double digits. So whatever Democrats are doing, it ain't working, Kate. It ain't working. Republicans have the lead on all three issues.
Well, there you go. As you may notice, Julie has disappeared, but she will return on Monday. The disconcerting thing about those statistics is the Magellan poll on all Colorado voters did similar ones on the case of immigration and also crime. And the Colorado voters, Republicans, Independents, Democrats, taken as a group, trusted Democrats more. So that really tells you, at least in part, about how lost we are here in Colorado. We are not sure how these left-wing non-bots crossed the border. Maybe they came in from California, Illinois, and were just born lefties. Or maybe it's when we legalized marijuana, all the deadheads came in. But we have a left-of-center voting group, and it's sort of extraordinary. All things considered, you're really hoping for, some good news in Colorado, some hope in Colorado. And at least at the present time, that's kind of hard to say. We've got the Republican assembly on Saturday to consider the opt-out, consider getting rid of the attorney who is conflicted out because he also represents the chair. And a couple of other items. So that'll be an interesting meeting. The two sides will clash. If I had to guess, around 55% of the Colorado Republicans are pro-Trump, truly pro-Trump, not just saying it. And 45% are rhinos. I mean, it's about a 55-45 split, which is why all the people want to get rid of assemblies and caucuses. The one person who is now considered the leader of the Republican thing is Barbara Kirchmeier. She got a 48 out of 100 rating from Liberty Scorecard. And moreover, she got a pure F from the Liberty Scorecard. And she is the leading Republican. Is she leading because she's the most popular Republican among Republicans? No, she is not liked by Republicans in particular. In fact, she's really disliked by the grassroots. The last gubernatorial candidate, Heidi Gnall, at least had mediocre relationships with the grassroots. She wasn't hated by the grassroots. Barbara Kirchmeier is absolutely hated by the grassroots. So in order to expand her approval, what did she do? She announced the endorsement of Bill Owens. Now, Bill Owens' endorsement will get you nobody she doesn't already have. If you like Bill Owens, or if you remember who Bill Owens is, You're going to like Barbara Kirchmeyer. He once said, and once somebody said, "Well, you sure you want my endorsement? It might well help hurt you." And in fact, it probably does hurt her, but she doesn't care because she'll petition on to get on the ballot, and then she'll depend upon Democrats going independent and independents voting for her. The one thing that she hasn't totally calculated, perhaps, is the fact that the Democrats, for the first time, are really going to have a contested primary between Phil Weiser and Michael Bennett. So the usual idea of a Democrat, well, it doesn't matter who's, we've already chosen our candidate. We only have one running there's any chance, so I'll just go to the Republican side. But they will be battling it out, so not so many will switch over. So you may have less Democratic-leaning independents voting for Bob Kirchmeyer. If she wins, can she win statewide? No. Any candidate is, at least according to the Magellan poll, 12 points behind. And that's a lot of points to make up, and it's a super amount if you're Barb Kirchmeyer. So why do all these Republicans, and there's tons other, including good friends like Greg Lopez and Scott Baio, why do they run for governor? I have no idea. I had a great uncle who ran three times for governor of Pennsylvania, and I asked him, well, why do you run? It's kind of fun. So I guess it's kind of fun for Barb Kirchmeyer. She's not going to raise any money. Phil Anschutz, he's going to give it to his former employee, who's Michael Bennett on the Democratic side. So who's going to give her money? Maybe Steve Weld up in Weld County. But she'll run the usual desultory campaign, and will lose. And so Republicans get to, oh well, and she'll disappear because she's not a leader in any sense. But Republicans don't have any leaders. The one leader they did have, which was Dave Williams, is went off to Washington. And even the Democrats realize with him gone, the Colorado Republican Party is now sort of out of ideas, sort of out of ability to plan and to scheme and to do everything else. There's nobody there really to replace him in the Republican Party. I mean, it's sort of amazing when you really consider that, how it's going to work in the Republican Party with no real leadership. Maybe somebody will come up and begin leading the Republican Party, but that's it's not an easy thing to do. And we've talked about it before. What Phil and the boys really want is to have jungle primaries, where you just nominate. It doesn't matter. Anybody can put their name up. Everybody qualifies who gets the minimum number of signatures, and the quote-unquote primary is just the top two vote getters go on to a general. Sort of they did in Louisiana, but also more importantly do in California. The rich people like that because really it's only anybody with some money that'll have any audience. There'll be no basis for other people to be able to get up there. And if you can rig the top two, that's what you'll do. The question is, how are they going to get there? How are they going to get from the present system, which favors Democrats, and that's how Democrats like, to this new one, which simply favors the rich? And so Democrats aren't necessarily on board with that. So Phil is what he's done is he's gotten all of his minions to do it. And there's no more loyal minion than John Caldera of the Independence Institute. John goes on all the time saying, "Oh, well, I've decided that the Coloradans don't like parties, so let's go to an open primary." Yeah, that's it. That'll make the system fair. But I don't think anybody listens to John Caldera. I don't know if anybody out there listens to John Caldera. And believes anything he says, but he's just doing whatever the work of the Phil Anschutz wants him to do it. So where does the party go? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm a PCP, which means you're kind of a foot soldier here. I mean, they're not going to get Barbara Kirchmeyer's not going to get any foot soldiers to go out for her for the general election. But generally speaking, if you really want to get elected, you got to pay people. Because you can pay people, they can't say, "I don't want to do it today." Go, "Great, well, you're not getting paid. Volunteers, what can you do?" So the Republican Party will continue to dwindle. It's got no money in it. And Steve Klenda, the attorney, is billing the hell out of the Colorado Republic. I mean, he billed 115 to file a motion to dismiss. He's also have a motion. He filed three more motions, two for attorney's fees against Matt Arnold and another one against Cody LeBlanc and Eric Grossman, as well as a motion asking the court to find the indemnification agreement, which would cover those people, to be void and not applicable. And so while the brass over the GOP, because we need a ceasefire, while they're firing away with Clinda as fast and as furious as they possibly can. And if they end up losing those motions, and I think it's more likely than not they will lose them, that's another 100,000 probably. So the party will be down close to $250,000 to its legal counsel. And who's going to contribute then? I mean, maybe you guys out there will say, hey, I saved a couple $1,000. You know, I was going to put it toward my grandchild's education or something else. But no, I want to make sure that Steve Klenda gets some additional money out there, because that would be great. So their fundraising, if it's dead in the water now, will be truly dead. And then you look over to the House. Rose Puglisi, in case you didn't hear, who is the minority leader of the House, resigned. She said, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm living here on the Front Range, and I sort of kind of think I'll move back to Mesa County. No job particularly, no particular position, no anything else. Just kind of like, yeah, I move. When she's going to move back? She's a single mother with a child. Unclear, but, you know, being Republican minority leader means so little to me that I'm just resigning. I'm just resigning. And then the number three, Mr. Ryan Armagost, also resigned. Why did he resign? Well, it's not clear. They were criticizing him, I guess maybe because of some picture taken of a slutty looking Democrat, and she didn't like it. And so she was greatly offended by the fact that somebody would take her picture and have people laugh about it. So she got a censure motion against Armagost, not for her slutty behavior or dressing, but for Armagost taking a picture of it. And he said, oh, that's too much. I resign. You have all of the Republican Party in the House as well as the Senate. The Senate president resigned. He said, no, I don't want to be, not president, the minority leader in the Senate, who always wanted to become the president of the Senate, said, no, you know, there's a job opportunity somewhere, and so I'm out of here. So the troops down at the Capitol are really, you know, and they elected a new minority leader, who's another rhino. And the problem they have is they have, you know, it's a secret vote, but it's supposedly 12 to 9. 12, 9 for Ken DeGraff and 12 for the rhino candidate. But there's no reason when you talk about these great battles where the Republicans are standing up, talking for hours and fighting away, it's always the conservatives don't get any leadership position. And so it's been recommended, stop fighting, let them fight their own fights. You do all the work, you do all the effort, and then they announce to the world, yeah, we're fighting hard, except it's none of them. And so don't caucus. The conservatives don't caucus with the Republicans, just caucus on your own. And that's a threat, and that threat has been conveyed because it was discussed over on the Bill show, and they discussed. He said, "Well, you know, they can't do that. They're talking about breaking up. We can't do that." And so you've got very few politicians who could lead in Colorado. Maybe Ken DeGraff can, but it's very hard to know any of them. So it'll be interesting Saturday. I don't know how many people were there. There's talk about a boycott by the rhinos so they don't have enough to vote on the opt-out. I'm not sure that'll be effective, but it's typical. And so the Republican Party's got to, you know, maybe just hang in there until The Democrats really destroy the state. And they're doing a great job, by the way. They're doing a wonderful job. I mean, it's the Democrats can kill California and, the Golden State. I mean, how easy is it to kill Colorado? You got the mayor of Denver not being able to figure out how to close its budget, and so he's laying off people in Denver city government, although a federal judge just gave an injunction saying he couldn't fire this person. So they just got to keep on paying them all. Great doing, federal court. The state budget is way out of kilter, over $1 million. And they raised some fees and other items, but didn't come close to closing it. The only suggestion the governor has is let's screw over the provider fee, so we'll kill all the rural hospitals. So economically, Colorado's really suffering, or beginning to suffer. I can't say it's there yet, but it's really beginning to suffer. So it's a strange time to be kind of an adamant Republican, when there's little or no leadership and there's little or no hope. And so what we're going to do is have a contest, and the best answer will award a dinner for two, at some restaurant in Westminster for a positive, happy agenda for Republicans in Colorado that could be done. So just write to us, and there are these side notes, and we'll pick out the best one, because we want to be happy, don't we? We all want to be optimistic and happy, and kind of we can't wait till the fall elections, because something. And it's amazing. And the last thing I'll bring up is Westminster's got its election coming up. It's controlled by Republicans who became total Democrats, Nancy Sharp and Dave DeMont and a few others took the city council and then did just what the Democrats would do. Did, massive housing density, sweetheart deals to developers, letting the staff take over at huge salaries. And so there's a one candidate, Bruce Baker, who was on the council, and then his term had turned up. So he's running, and he'll actually make a change, and really make a change. So we're going to get Bruce, and some others who are running for city council to come on about their great fight. It's one, if they can win that one, they really could totally change Westminster. And God, if you could change one town, maybe you can change a lot more. Well, that's it. Sans Julie, we'll be back on Monday, and everybody take care.